Martin Heidegger claimed that idle talk is something that anyone can take up, which releases one from the task of genuinely understanding. He wrote of public disclosedness of being with one another where the loudest idle talk and the most ingenious curiosity keeps things moving. Where, in an everyday manner, everything, and at bottom nothing, is happening. We have a different view. We believe that the only way to reach the truth is by talking. Like a man panning for gold in a dung heap, in amongst the blither blather, bad puns and nonsense, one might find a single grain of truth. This is Idle Talk. Open your mind and then your mouth.
Good evening. This is Idle Talk live from the poop deck of the ship of Theseus. A whole hour of philosophical talk, argumentation, which is a stupid word for argument that doesn't really need, it doesn't need to be in the dictionary, that word. Tonight we're talking about free riding. If I were to avoid paying taxes yet still take advantage of services such as the NHS, would I be doing anything wrong? I'd like to know, what's your opinion on that tonight? Are you doing something wrong, or is it simply a case of because one person's tax is such a negligible contribution, it doesn't even matter? One person's tax would probably not even cover, wouldn't even buy a hospital bed. I don't know the exact stats, but you wouldn't be able to. Just one person not paying the tax is going to make absolutely no difference. It won't bring down the NHS, so why should someone feel bad about it? And one person taking NHS resources for free, there's enough wastage in that system, it doesn't really matter. So how does it matter? How are they doing anything wrong? They're not really harming anyone, are they? Or is there some sort of moral principle at stake? Even if you are doing no damage, should you still contribute to the NHS simply because everyone else is? Are you treating other people unfairly if you free ride? The topic tonight is the problem of free riding, and I'm joined in the co-host corner with freelance illustrator Brain on Legs. Nicola, hello.
Brain on Legs?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's almost a compliment.
Hey, no, that sounds like a compliment.
It's so weird that it is almost a compliment.
Yeah, it's
good. Not really a compliment, is it? Brain on Legs.
It's actually not, because I'm more than a brain on legs. I've also got eyes and a head.
There's
and
a mouth and nose. We've exactly degenerated already to singing head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees
That's
and
good.
Toes.
That's good.
This is meant to be a credible philosophy show. You know, there are one or two academics that listen to this show now. Yeah,
but there aren't any others out there that sing head, shoulders, and knees and toes.
And there aren't any academics listening anymore, I can assure you that. So,
or anybody. Somebody must be listening.
Free riding. What do you think? What do you think about that tax case? If I'm... Let's have a scenario. I'm not paying tax. I am the proverbial Amazon. What do you think about that? Actually, I've got an opinion on Amazon, and maybe we'll talk about that a bit later. I'm personally going to avoid paying tax. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm going to do my normal thing and say, surely it's ridiculous.
Why? That's what I was hoping. That's what I was hoping. I'm in such a mood for an argument tonight, and if anyone has an opinion, which you all should, I mean, this is quite crucial and quite topical stuff. I'm going to relate this to the Amazon case, where Amazon are apparently avoiding corporation tax by, putting their HQ outside the UK. It's the oldest trick in the book. I mean, Play.com did it for, I don't know what they do now, but originally their HQ was in Jersey, so therefore they avoided UK tax. So pick up Skype if you have an opinion on Amazon evading tax. Or whatever the
I did not know that
is.
About Amazon.
Or yeah, it's been all over the news as of late. So, or what do you think of people just free riding in general? People not voting? Well, but let's talk about tax first of all. If I don't pay my tax, I'm not contributing to the police force. I'm still. I could phone 999 and they'd help me out. They're not. They don't check. The police don't check your tax returns. The ambulance driver, if I get hit by a bus and the ambulance driver scoops me off the ground and takes me to hospital, he won't go, sorry mate, just gotta check the tax office. Yeah, you're all paid up. It's a welfare state. We just assume that everyone's contributing and therefore they get...
I've just realised that this is the worst topic for me because I'm not paying tax for legitimate reasons, and also I barely vote either.
Yeah, this is interesting. So,
I'm like, yeah, it's ridiculous, but I just still don't do any of it.
Let's pursue that thought First of all, what do you think is ridiculous? If I'm just saying, if anyone wants to join in, please do. I really want to argue with someone down Skype tonight. My Skype name is rodders.com, rhodders.com. Feel free to just call in at any point. Don't worry about interrupting. It's a free-for-all. This is the forum of debate. So why is it ridiculous? Why is it so...
The thing that's ridiculous is the thinking my little bit's not going to make any difference. So... what's the point?
But it is true, though, isn't it?
Yes, of course it's true.
Exactly. So,
but if everybody said that, then
so you're going down. You're going down the Kantian route of could I will it to be a universal law that no one paid taxes?
Yeah. Big fan of Kant.
But
big
perhaps, fan. And also you sort of the golden rule.
No, I'm not. I don't like him. Do I? I remember.
You
I
didn't like him on morality. You didn't like him on morality. But you've just gone down a very Kantian route. Also, also like the golden rule. Only act in a way that I'd like to be treated. But I'll accept that. Sure, if everybody thought, well, I'm not paying tax, the NHS would fall apart. But that won't happen. There is no situation where that would actually happen.
No, but you can't just have people deciding, oh, I'm not going to do it because there's no point, and then everybody else doing it.
Do you know what? I expect
That's not
it.
Fair.
I think it happens a lot.
It's not fair.
I think it happens a lot, but does it have any effect? What's fairness got to do with it?
It's not fair because you've got more money than me then if I'm paying tax and you're not. Just because you don't think there's any point.
But that's because you're a fool for paying tax.
Oh,
if HM Revenue and Customs are listening, I am all above board. but this is all hypothetical. But what's the problem? That's you being a mug, surely. And what
everyone in the world is a mug.
It's a bit of a sidetrack.
Doing the law.
You have to now define fairness, which is a difficult thing.
It's. I kind of see your point, but it's just, surely you see it's ridiculous.
No, that's, see,
why
that,
not?
That is...
Because you can't have a rule where it's everybody has to pay tax, apart from the people that think there's no point in paying tax because it won't make a difference, you guys, you're fine.
Committing an informal fallacy in arguing. You're doing, reductio ad absurdum. You're just saying, well, that's rubbish, only an idiot would believe that. You're basically saying anyone who goes along with my argument is an idiot. That's ridiculous, anybody with half a brain would know that. And really, it doesn't add anything to your argument.
Thank you very much.
So, we're going to take a short break now.
And on that note, I'm going to go
what
cry.
Do you think? I'd like to know your opinions out there in the chat room. I very much like your thoughts, your opinions, because this is it's one of those very relevant and topical bits of philosophy. It's normally philosophers get accused of what's all the stupid cliches? Ivory Tower and all that lot, and you're living on a cloud, man, or something, and all that sort of thing. But this is relevant ethics that has, a huge effect on our economy. It's very relevant. This sort of stuff is, you can almost look out your window and empirically see people avoiding tax. This is Idle Talk.
Having a rave in Plato's cave.
This is Idle Talk, live from the poop deck of the Ship of Theseus. I was getting bored of saying live from Plato's cave, and I think the joke was very thin. Tonight we are talking about free riding. Good evening, I'm Rodders. Alongside me is Nicola. How are you doing? You
all right? Hello, I'm still fine, thank you.
In fact, I'd like to out some free riders. Everyone who is listening now but hasn't bothered to contribute to the argument, and most, worst of all, hasn't... giving me a nice iTunes review, you are free riding off my hard work. So
it's kind of true, you know.
Well, it is and it isn't, because they didn't ask me to do this. It's not like they...
No, but they are listening, though. They're enjoying it,
but it's sort of my choice to... It's like if I went around giving people flowers and they expected them to be grateful, it would be kind of... Anyway, I'm undermining my own point. Write me some damn iTunes reviews. dearie me. So we've had a couple of opinions in. Niall doesn't see free riding as a problem. May says, if everyone, basically reiterating the sort of the Kantian line, but if everyone thought like that, there would be no money for the NHS. Phil says, taxes are a good idea, especially for things such as the NHS, but there are too many pointless taxes. So, sort of, if you did selective free riding, didn't pay for it. Because a lot of pacifists try and calculate how much of their taxes may be spent on arms, not as in arms and legs, and nuclear bombs, etc. I was patronising, I'm sorry. But they calculate they try and roughly calculate how much apparently is used on weaponry, anti-pacifist violent stuff, and they and when filling in the tax return, they don't pay that bit of money.
Are you serious? Yeah, people actually do that?
Yeah, it's kind of...
Oh, my God.
Well, it's kind of... It's a bit more principled than... Because if he says, well, I'm against the war in Iraq, so I'm not going to pay taxes, but then you'd be saying, but a lot of that tax doesn't go to the war in Iraq. It goes to the NHS. It goes to the schools. It goes to the police force. It goes to the fire brigade. It goes to, you know, lots of nice libraries and all that lot. So you would be kind of... So I kind of... It seems a bit pernickety, but in many ways, I think it's a bit more moral than just saying, well, I'm not going to pay tax. You'll still get done for it, though. So you might as well just avoid tax totally in that sense. Not like condoning tax evasion. That's because I reckon in order for stuff to work, I think the government is monstrously inefficient.
Well, this is the problem. It's not like... It's the law. You can't just avoid it because you think, oh, I can get away with it. I'm only one person. It's the actual law. Like, it's something you have to... do.
I think in order for a law to in order for a law to be a law, you just have to make it obey. Everyone has to obey it. You couldn't... Oh, what's my point here? Well, I'm trying to, if you're making a law, you can't... You've got to make it apply to everyone.
Yeah. What do you mean you've got to make it apply to everyone? It does apply to everyone. Everybody has to pay tax.
Yeah.
If they're earning over a certain amount.
Yeah. My Skype name is rodders.com, rhodrs.com. So if anyone wants to Skype in throughout the night, as well as writing in your comments, you are more than welcome. How can you be more than welcome? I'm more than happy. What does that mean? How can you be more than happy? Are you ecstatic? But people always say...
Yeah, if you're more than welcome, you're invited, aren't you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't just be...
No, being welcome is being invited. Anyway, we philosophy of language...
being welcome's like, oh, cool, you're here.
Make a note, so we'll do philosophy of language later, I think.
No, let's do this now.
All right, calm down. So, the free rider problem. What other examples? Because perhaps people tend to have very black and white opinions on tax. They're either for it or against it. So let's talk... What are some other examples of things that be considered free riding?
Global warming.
Yeah, so if I leave my power station on or my light bulb on, I listen to an interesting Philosophy Bites podcast featuring a philosopher called Richard Tuck, who has written many an article about the free rider problem and stuff like that. Very interesting stuff. Good. In fact, I advise you all to download Philosophy Bites. It's much more concise and much more intellectual than this. They have like 5 to 10 minute interviews with various philosophers, and it's very easy to, you know, I've a lot of these sort of topics they cover I've never even read, and I don't have any problem sort of understanding it. It's sort of like the nice, it's an easy sort of way just to sort of do philosophy as a hobby, I believe. I think it makes us a better people, just to think about things. Global warming's an interesting one, isn't it? Because really, that seems even more negligible than tax. It doesn't seem as principled. Like, leaving a light bulb on when there's a power station at the end of the road, say, it's pathetic. And I get so annoyed when people would... You used to get these busybodies at school who used to be the light monitors, and their responsibility was to go around turning off the lights. I'd be reading or something, and they'd turn the light off. Excuse me, I'm using the light. I am not I'm a legitimate use of electricity. Like, don't just... Ugh, unbelievable.
I would love that. I love turning lights off.
Yeah, but do you see what I mean? That doesn't make any difference.
No, but if everybody does it, then it does.
But that's not going to happen, is it?
But it should.
But
I can't just say it's not going to happen, so I'm not going to do it.
But also, it's kind of weird where Richard Tuck makes the point that this pretty much becomes a... it does. It's weird in the sense of, like, remember we were talking about tax evasion. It's actually logical from the individual's point of view to free ride. And also, it becomes a sort of paradox, because if everyone agrees with, say, well, we don't want global warming, so we're going to switch off our lights... or we're not going to... Well, actually, this tax evasion is a much better example. We're not going to pay tax, but we can all agree that the NHS is a good thing. It's both kind of work. Both are in area. It's a paradox, because people can assign to the goal of the NHS, but they can also... They have to agree. They have to agree that their individual contribution is negligible. Therefore, it's within their best interest to pay tax and not to pay tax simultaneously, Isn't that weird?
Yeah, of course that's logical for the individual, but it's not logical. You can't logically justify that you can use the NHS and think it's a good thing and, you know, you use the roads and use the police and everything and not pay for it. You can't logically justify that, can you?
When did you use a policeman, Nicola?
You know what I mean.
And I'm being silly. So, what... Yeah, I guess it does seem there's something inherently just seems a bit sort of pig-headed and wrong about saying, oh yeah, I like this, but I'm not going to contribute. It does seem kind of bluntly awful. And also, there is a threshold in which there will be global warming. But we don't know that threshold. We're coming up in a couple of minutes. This is going to descend back into the topic of vagueness, where really Richard Tuck argues that, and he has a solution really for many of the free riding problems, that it's really a problem with our language and it's a problem of vagueness and it involves a paradox. So we're going to come up with that, but I just want to get some more opinions on this, because global warming is an interesting one, but let's not actually argue about global warming. It'd be very easy to do a whole hour on whether or not global warming exists and whether Al Gore's hockey stick graph was absolute nonsense. Let's just assume for tonight global warming is factually correct, which I think the majority of people, believe
accept.
It's true. But then the majority of people listen to JLS and they're rubbish. So a false appeal to popularity doesn't mean you're on the right track. But let's assume global warming's actually happening. And can I free ride? Does it matter? Like, can we just carry on? Because it gets to a point where you say, well, a light bulb doesn't make any difference. Four light bulbs doesn't make any difference. A whole town with their lights on doesn't make any difference. A power station doesn't make any difference. A city, a country, a continent. Suddenly, there has got to be a point at which we're going to break the environment. whoops. So, yeah. So, that is basically... It's a weird one, isn't it? Especially when something is... I reckon going away from sort of the free rider problem with the environment, I think we might as well try and be careful, because I don't like the thought of... Even if there is no such thing as global warming, turning off our lights can't really harm us, can it?
It's not really... I don't know. Is it free riding?
This is a bit like...
Because it's actually the more people care... the more they can do, rather than with taxes. I think
light bulbs is too much of a simplistic thing. It's like, if you did more recycling or made more of an effort, or I think if you look at countries, like, should countries invest millions in more green energies and things like that? I'd like to know your thoughts. Idle Talk, we are live until 10 p.m. You can talk to me in the chat box at oneradio.org/. If you're listening back on the podcast on iTunes, you can always email me, radio@rodgers.com. Or if you're listening on Audioboo, why not send me a boo? Before we go to the break, we need to read out this topic, this comment. Phil says, do you want to read this one? This is a good one. It's a doozy.
I want global warming to continue. Benefits the UK, as we'll be able to grow wine and tropical crops, whereas other countries lose that niche.
You see, that is the problem with global warming. Because it's been it really should be called climate change. That's a better term for it. Because people like Phil, no offence, like, you miss the point entirely.
I love warmth. We love sunshine.
Oh, yeah, I'd love
global warming.
Yeah, I'd love a Mediterranean climate. Let's turn all the light bulbs on and plug in a few hairdryers or at it. Really, what it means is we're going to have much more extreme winters and much more extreme summers. We could get another ice age.
Idle Talk on One Radio.
This is Idle Talk. I'm Rodders. You're Nicola, presumably.
I am.
You are the listeners. You are the masses eagerly drinking from the cup of philosophy or something like that. So tonight we're talking about free riding. Got some rather interesting comments in the shout box tonight. Keep them coming. OneRadio.org. Hello, Phil.
Howdy.
You're on the show. So what do you think of this free rider problem, then?
Well, it's rubbish.
what specifically is rubbish? You think that free riding isn't really a problem?
Oh, of course it's a problem. Everyone will try and free ride if they're given the opportunity. If they know they can get away with it, they will do it.
So you think it's wrong that people do free ride?
Of course it's wrong.
In the example of... But if they're not... Say, let's look at the tax evasion one. If my contribution to tax is just so negligible it doesn't matter, then I'm not really harming anyone, am I?
Well, you are, because if everyone thinks that, then it doesn't become negligible.
But that's
anymore.
The thing. Everyone's saying that tonight. It wouldn't... It's very, very unlikely. Most people just do as they're told. It is very unlikely that everyone would free ride. And in fact, if it got to the state, that state, I think people would start paying taxes in order to get benefits.
No one would start paying taxes. We'd all start free riding.
But I don't think there'd ever be a point when that would happen.
But surely, if you think of all the people that... Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Surely, if you think of all the people that don't pay taxes at the moment, how many there must be and how much money, more money the government would have if they were, that puts it in a more realistic kind of area. And then, you know, maybe we wouldn't be in such trouble that we're in now.
Yeah, I think it's different. It's weird. It's very weird because it's all about individuals. And an individual contribution means nothing. You can't really argue with that. But then en masse, it becomes like, I feel I get your point. If everyone suddenly stopped paying taxes, then yeah, we'd be absolutely up the... To use a cliche, we'd be up the creek without a paddle. Where's my cliche button gone?
Oh, God, where's it gone? Quick, this is a disaster.
I've probably broken it. I've said so many cliches tonight.
I think we can all remember it, so
yeah,
it's fine.
So, yeah, I think you're right in that respect, Phil. But trouble is, how many people would it take to stop paying taxes for everything to fall apart? Or, you know...
Well, it's already falling apart as it is, so probably however many people aren't paying taxes at the moment.
Exactly.
Saying
if everybody didn't do it, the whole country would just die, it sounds a bit drastic, but putting it in that.
But then let's
look
at something like global warming. We don't actually know how many light bulbs we'd have to turn off, or how many power stations, and you know, how much level of pollution we'd need to do in order to create climate change. We don't know, do we?
Not exactly, no.
See, that's the problem.
It's still a myth to some people that it doesn't actually exist, but...
Yeah, but assuming it exists, though, what do you think of the climate change issue?
It's something that we have to assume it exists and we have to, like, combat it.
Is that just to be prudent, just in case?
Yeah, we just have to be careful about it. If it might happen, you know, do something to prevent it before it gets totally out of control and we can't do anything about it.
So it's negligent for someone just to leave all their lights and hairdryers going?
Oh, a light bulb don't do that much damage.
See, yeah, this is the point, isn't it? Yeah, what do you think would make damage?
Leaving the kettle on.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your call, Phil.
No problem.
Cheers. Yeah, so this is the... Actually, we've sort
come
of come
on,
to
light
a...
Bulbs are ridiculous.
We've come to a conclusion that... Well, it's the kettle, that's the problem. Good night. No, we've sold philosophy, it's all fixed. But no, Phil does actually make an interesting point there. He's kind of saying that there's got to be... He says, well, a light bulb doesn't do much, but maybe a kettle would, because kettles are a lot more powerful than light bulbs. So there's a threshold somewhere, but we... Or is there? This basically takes us... It's become a paradox of vagueness, specifically the Sorites paradox. Essentially, the Sorites paradox is an ancient Greek made it up, probably for fun. And Nicola, you have a grain of sand, right? You have a pile of sand in front of you.
I have a pile of sand, yes.
How many grains of sand do I need to constitute that pile?
Do you want me to count?
But how many grains constitute a pile? This is a problem, and it's like how much?
I think three.
Exactly. you can't really tell, and that is the paradox. So it's like how much would you need to? How much pollution would you need to chuck into the atmosphere in order to cause global warming, and all those sorts of things? It is a Sorites paradox. And now to explain more about the Sorites paradox, we will be hearing from an interview I recorded for another show on called Waking Up in Vagueness, a show all about vagueness. We're going to be hearing that in after a very, very short break. This is Idle Talk, philosophy on your, live to the nation. And also, we are available as a podcast on iTunes. Just type in Idle Talk. And also, in the last couple of weeks, exciting development, we're now available on Audioboo. Audioboo, you might, it's synonymous with sort of small messages for audio from, like, you know, 3-minute clips of Stephen Fry or Tony Blackburn. But I've actually struck a very nice arrangement with Audioboo. They have been very generous and allowed me to upload entire episodes of Idle Talk. So you'll get the podcast. It's just, if you don't use iTunes, it's an easier way of doing it, because it plays, you can post it on Facebook. The player is very clever. It turns, you post the link to the episode and the player will just pop up in Twitter and on Facebook. So you can listen to it for without even having to leave Facebook or Twitter. It's very easy to share. So go to audioboo.fm/idle talk. And if you've got an account, why not follow us? And you'll get all the episodes in a very, very easy to listen to form. Just trying to reach more listeners by making things easier for you. Because I know if you don't use iTunes, it's a hassle. It's a real hassle. But of course, we do appreciate all the iTunes listeners and would love some more reviews. So let's talk about... We are talking about the free rider problem. The problem is it's become a issue of vagueness. If I'm not paying my tax, it's very hard to work out exactly how many people not paying tax would destroy the economy, or how much CO2 we'd have to chuck in the atmosphere to create global warming. It's like the Sir Isis paradox, which is asking how many grains make a heap. And to tell us more about this, we're going to listen to an interview with Josh Matthews from the University of Reading, who runs the Philosophy Society and has been writing quite a few essays and I think even a whole dissertation on this topic. So for a better explanation than I can give, we're going to hear from Josh now.
Idle Talk on One Radio.
I'm at Reading University with Josh Matthews, President of the Philosophy Society and finalist in philosophy at the University of Reading. Today we're going to talk about the Sir Isis paradox. So firstly, I think it would be a good idea to sum up exactly what this paradox is.
So the Sir Isis paradox is a problem which applies to particular terms in our language, in specifically vague terms. So there's many examples of these, which include things like tall, short, red, long. The problem applies, it comes in where we have a clear example of something. So we might say someone who's 7 foot is tall. Now we'd say, well, surely that person's still going to be tall, even if he loses a centimetre from his height. He's still going to be tall, just a centimetre shorter. So if we take this as a general rule, then we can continue to take a centimetre from him whilst he remains tall. If we continue to do that, then we'll eventually reach a point where he's 4 foot tall, and we still say it's correct that he's tall, which seems an absurdity in the application of this term. So this is the general paradox, and this can be run with several terms, as I said.
So it's anything where you're assigning a vague quality or predicate where something that's on a scale. So if you've got height's a good one, weight could be a good one, and the original one is you have a heap. You have how many grains of wheat does it take to make a heap? You can't just have 2 grains. That doesn't seem like a heap. Yet suddenly you can spot a heap. If you saw a heap of wheat in front of you, you'd know that was a heap, but there doesn't seem to be a determinate number that makes it a heap.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. There's no clear boundary between these things. Even though it seems obvious that there's heaps and there's non-heaps, but when it comes to trying to find out where the boundary is between them, it's very hard to do. And that's what runs into this paradox, that it seems just adding 1 grain of wheat to a non-heap or taking one away from a heap won't ever stop it. So yes, this is how the paradox began with Euripides back in ancient Greece. It's generally taken that a term is vague if it admits borderline cases. So you could have a case where it's not obviously a heap or not obviously not a heap somewhere. And also if there's not sharp boundaries to its extensions. So it's not obvious that there's a cutoff point between it being a heap, not a heap. It's slightly different. A term isn't vague just if we don't know its extensions. These are what we need to look for to tell if a term's vague, which becomes important in literature because we want to know exactly what phenomenon we're talking about. But yes, so with your question... it seems like Williamson, who the main defender of this theory, would say that it's not really vague in the way he means. So just because we don't know where the boundary is, it's still true to say that there is a strict boundary. 1 grain of wheat will stop it from being a heap. So just, I know, people do tend to think this is just a ridiculous view. It's incredible, like how we would think this. I tend to find that the way we use our terms just doesn't postulate such a boundary. It just seems to go against what we are trying to do with our language, the way it actually works. It just doesn't seem clear to me how these... I mean, one would say, how does this boundary come about? I mean, words are our words. This is our language. How would such a strict boundary be set?
Idle Talk on One Radio.
Thanks to Josh Matthews from the University of Reading there. So it's a psoriasis paradox, essentially. And so there is one way of solving the psoriasis paradox, as Josh said. There is a cutoff point. We just don't know where it is. So at some point, we're definitely going to break the environment by pumping too much CO2. We just don't know that yet. So basically, we should err on the side of caution, as Phil said, and just not... and does not pollute and try and turn our lights off, essentially.
Kettles.
Yeah, kettles. Kettles are the eve.
Lights are fine.
Yeah, it's people like me and you that drink copious amounts of tea and coffee that are the real...
Awful.
Yeah, it doesn't... Forget China and their massive stinking factories. It's really me and my little kettle.
Yeah.
But also there are... the Philosophy Bites interview, Richard Tuck said that many of these examples of free riding, although they aren't actually examples of vagueness or the psoriasis paradox. Take voting, for example. In a voting system, there is you can actually work out a definite number. If I don't vote, doesn't really screw things up that much. If one person doesn't vote, it doesn't bring down a whole political system or bring about a weird anomalous event. But if you were to mobilise, you could work out an exact number of people to mobilise, at which there is a tipping point where it would ruin the democratic nature of it, or you'd do something, make it all a bit weird. So there's definitely a cut-off point there.
Yeah, he said that if, for example, if you've got two political candidates and one wins with 10,000 votes, and the other one has 8,000. It's 8,000 of those 10,000 votes that have caused them to win. And so there's an 8 in 10 chance that your vote counted.
So to say that your vote doesn't count, it doesn't actually work. You can say, oh, well, what would the odds be? So there'd be a certain odds of my vote not counting.
Yeah. So, yeah. You've got a 2 in 10 chance of your vote not counting.
Which doesn't seem that bad, does it?
He used that to make it... I don't know, yeah. He used it to make it sound like, you know, it does count, and that's an example of when you know that you're doing good, but...
I think that's kind of quite convincing, isn't it? Because it's...
I don't know, do you think so?
Yeah, because it's more likely that in that situation, obviously it would differ between political systems, etc., and elections. But in that instance... You might as well vote, because the odds are greater that it's going to count.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
It's not guaranteed. A lot of these
aren't actually... Yeah, I guess it's quite convincing.
So a lot of these aren't actually psoriasis paradox. So I think we can sort of conclude from this that you basically shouldn't free ride, because at some point there is a cut-off point. But it does seem... I guess the bigger the numbers, the more likely you are to cause a problem. And that's why, I guess, corporation tax is more of an issue than people, than the individual. Just because the government just can't afford to pursue everyone. So it's better for them to pursue Amazon than just one tax-dodging man that lives in a cul-de-sac somewhere in a, you know...
I don't know. Yeah, I think I find it more convincing to think that the fact... You can tell that the environment is already a bit ruined, and that's kind of proof that because there are people out there that are free-riding, that's... proof that it does make a difference. I find that more convincing, I think, that there's proof that it's already happened.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but I'm beginning... this is the first time in a long time on Idle Talk that I'm beginning to actually form a proper conclusion of you shouldn't free ride because at some point, especially in places where it's actually vague, there's even more reason not to free ride. Because at least if you definitely know that... X number of people not voting ruins everything. If you pretty much know that most people are going to vote, then you won't feel bad about voting. But if there's this penumbra of uncertainty about when the environment's going to be ruined, then you don't want to accidentally overstep that line. So you're going to do your blooming... I'm going to do my recycling. So that is... I've reached a conclusion. I'd love someone out there listening on... if you're listening on the podcast, then feel free to email. We'll try and tackle this maybe on an Idle Talk Extra if we get enough emails and stuff about this. Or just at the beginning of the next show. I'd like very much to know what you think of that, because I'd like someone to challenge me on this, because when a philosopher thinks they've solved something, I'm not saying I'm a philosopher, but when anyone thinks they've solved something, like Descartes thought we'd solved a lot of things, it really just opened a bigger can of worms. There must be some massive glaring issue I am sort of missing. And so, yeah, I'm always a bit worried. So yeah, that kind of sums things up, doesn't it? This is Idle Talk on oneradio.org, and Idle Talk, it's not going to be on until the 9th of June, taking a 2-week break. Next week, oneradio.org is doing a Forgotten 80s weekend. I'll be here at this normal slot from 9 p.m, not talking philosophy. I'll be playing Forgotten 80s tunes. I think that's going to be fun. So no philosophy, we're all just going to go mad and ruin our brain cells with 80s nonsense, essentially. All our good work here tonight would have been undone, but never mind. I think that, you know, I'm on the side of the hedonist. Let's just go absolutely mad and have a party next Sunday. And on the 2nd of June, it's my birthday, and I'll be away in Cornwall, probably climbing rocks and, well, being a hedonist in a campsite. So yeah, if anyone wants to, if anyone has a particular topic you want us to have a look at, then take some suggestions. We've had a few suggestions. Tim wrote in, who runs One Radio, so we should get round to this eventually. It's probably prudent. Ages ago, he suggested us doing something on animal ethics, and I think that would be good. I want to do something along the lines of what sort of rights should we give animals, if any at all? That could be a good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Mm. So
I want to do that one, please.
Have you got any closing remarks on the issue of free riding?
I think I've...
Have you changed your opinion at all?
No.
But the opinions are just a bit more well-informed.
Yeah, definitely. But it just seems wrong to do it. I don't see how you can think
never know
anything other than that.
I always wrote this in essays. I used to write stuff like, it is intuitively wrong that. I'd then put in a proper argument later. But I'd use it. I don't know if appealing to intuition is a bad thing. And really, I probably should have worked that out before I wrote it in essays at university. But ho-hum, I did get a degree, so it couldn't have been that awful. But I don't know, there is something like, we could do another hour on just fairness alone. What is fairness? Does it imply impartiality, that everyone should be treated the same? If fairness does imply impartiality, then free riding would be wrong, because it's not an impartial way of dealing with things.
Yeah.
Kind of like Kant would say, I guess.
It's just most of these topics seem like straight away you think, well, it's obvious.
Yeah,
Then quite often I do end up changing my mind.
That's the beauty of philosophy, though, isn't it? And also, it's the single best and the single worst thing about philosophy. Nothing's ever simple, so nothing's ever boring, but you can't really get stuff done. And this is the biggest conclusion I've ever drawn. Idle Talk will be back on the 9th of June. In the meanwhile, please go to iTunes and give us an iTunes review. I'm wondering if there's any more announcements to make. I'm slightly on a tangent. I'm doing a couple more stand-up gigs. Go to rodders.com, rhodders.com. Writing a new load of jokes. I'm trying to incorporate a bit more of a philosophical slant in my set at the moment. Very, very difficult. I'm writing something now on Why is Sports Direct Plato's Cave? And if you guys do come and see me, then perhaps I will have scrapped that bit by the time you come and watch. But, you know, if you're in the area where I'm gigging, you might as well come along. I'm inexpensive entertainment. But Idle Talk, as I said, back in a couple of weeks' time. In the meanwhile, I will be uploading some old episodes onto audioboo.fm/idletalk. And, of course, there's a whole backlog on iTunes. So if you've appreciated the show, if you've got any comments, and email them to me, or even better, give us an iTunes review. So this has been Idle Talk, and we have been talking about free riding. Nicola, what is your Twitter, in case anyone wants to continue this argument with you? You don't know?
I think it's @Nicola_Patton.
You would use an underscore, wouldn't it? Very, very
pretentious. I don't think I would, though.
Yeah.
It might be just @Nicola Patton.
That was probably taken by a phony or something. Anyway, you can tweet me @Rodders, @RhoddDers. Thank you very much for listening tonight. This has been Idle Talk, live from, the poop deck of the ship of Theseus, because we're redecorating Plato's Cave at the moment. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.